Good morning. Welcome, everyone. We have definitely, we're here by God's grace and just definitely just considering, Lord, as the Lord spared us. But we know that this hurricane, and definitely just because we're spared doesn't mean, I mean, we can rejoice and we should because we've been praying for that. But it also means that other people that were not in that corner are also going to have to prepare. We don't know where we're going to go. I know that my understanding as of this morning, it's a Category 5 now, and it's going right through the Bahamas. So please, let's pray for them this morning. Also be thankful just that we can be gathering, and we can also pray as the Lord spared us. May He also have mercy on those in the Bahamas. And we also want to think of this morning of Aaron. Miriam was telling me that he's also in a lot of pain as of late, just going through a lot. So we want to pray for him, lift him up this morning. And also, please, don't forget our sister Teresita in the Philippines. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for Elvie. Again, it can't be out of sight, out of mind, right? Keep them in our prayers. So let's go before the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you once again because the fact that we're gathered here today, it's an indicator, it's a testament to answered prayer. Father, that we're not hunkered down in our homes, fearing a storm, that you had mercy on us, Father. And we thank you for that. We humbly thank you for that because we know we deserve much worse than a storm. But at the same time, Father, we also are mindful that there are others. You have your people in the Bahamas as well. May you have mercy on them and those that don't know you. Amen. Father, extend your hand to them. Your hand of protection, your hand of mercy. May you use whatever your will may be, Father. I don't pretend to know it, but all I can say is the way the writers of Scripture has said, Lord, thy will be done. The way Lord Jesus taught us to pray, that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I ask that this morning you would also, we pray for Aaron, we pray for his healing, we've been praying for him, and we continue to lift him up, Father. We know that you are in control of all things. We know that Tony and Miriam have shared the gospel with him continuously and faithfully. May they continue to point him to Scripture and Rosita as well. I pray, Father, that you would bring healing to him, Father. Bring comfort in this moment of pain, of I don't know other way to say it, Father, just the suffering that he's going through. May he encounter the living God in these moments of his life, that he too can repeat the words of Job, that my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes see. May that be his prayer, Father, at the end of all this. And we pray for our sister Teresita as well. We lift her up. Father, we think of her. We think of her as she is there in hospice care. But Lord, we know that for her, she is secure in your hands. Her soul is secure in the hands of her Maker. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to sustain her, and even to her last breath, Father, that she would stay the course, that she would remain faithful, and that, Father, you would continue to use her life as a testament to your grace and your mercy, your love and your kindness, Father. May you be with her, may you be with her family. And may you use Teresita's life to bring others to your throne of grace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning again. So this morning we are in Acts. We continue in the book of Acts. Glad to see all of you are safe and are able to make it this morning. So in Acts 4, we've been in Acts 4. What are some of the things that we've been seeing in Acts 4, if you recall from our last lesson? What was it that we remember, that we recall? So it's good to review, right? Because this is all in sequence, it's in progression. Correct. So we know that Peter, John are in front of the Sanhedrin, to be more specific, right? And among others as well, because people were gathering, right? People are gathering, and this crippled man had just been healed. This crippled man was crippled since birth. He's about 40 years old now. So this is not a psychosomatic, this is not something internal, that some healing that took place that, I mean, it was evident. People knew this man and he had been healed. And of course, this brings a problem because there's a multitude. We know that there's this, almost like this church police, right? This temple police, if you will, that are coming and they're seeing these people gathered, and now they have to kind of bring some type of order before something breaks out, right? And now they're before the Sanhedrin. When we ended, what were the last words of the Sanhedrin, right, to Peter and John? Do you guys recall? What were those last words? What was their exhortation, if you will, or their command?
Well, they strongly warned them, do not preach in Jesus' name anymore. You know, but what was interesting is that they have the evidence right in front of them. They know that, you know, they noticed that they were with Jesus. They know that they were unlearned men.
Correct.
And yet they were like, what do we do? And so they said, well, okay, this is it. We'll just tell them, hey, do not preach in his name anymore.
Yep.
You know, and then, of course, the famous answer from Peter.
And what was his famous answer? I don't know. How famous is it? What was that famous answer? Remind me.
Well, it was basically, hey, whether we listen to you or God, you know, let God, you know, you be the judge. But we're going to, you know, we're not going to stop, you know, proclaiming what we saw, what we've seen, what we've heard.
Correct. So there was a sense of boldness, right? A sense of boldness that was taking place in that of Peter and John, right? Because Peter's basically saying, hey, again, you guys be the judge. I mean, I know what you're telling me. But at the end of the day, I'm going to speak what I can't help but speak of, which is what I have seen. That the God's evidence, right, at work in their eyes. Lewis.
It always got my attention, the fact that they didn't do any theatrics when they were healing the man. They just stand the hand and stand the man. Contrary to the charlatans of today, you know?
He wasn't taking off his coat and swinging it around like that, and people were falling. They weren't doing that. And again, Peter, and his, of course, he gives that answer, that reply, that retort. But at the end of the day, Peter's heart was really to point them to who? To Christ. That was his heart. That was his whole testimony is it's Jesus. Right? Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a moment, and I challenge you to show me in Scripture when Peter says, hey, this is by our power. We've done this, you know. There's never. Peter's heart was always to point them to Jesus. And so this morning we continue in chapter 4, verses 23 all the way to 31. 23 all the way to 31. I will ask someone to go ahead and please read this for us this morning. Again, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. I will ask David.
23?
Yes, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And so this is God's word. So let us kind of break this down as we look at these verses together. So right at verse 23, okay, verse 23, it says, when they were released. Okay, so they were released by the Sanhedrin. Again, we already mentioned what they were commanded to do. Do not speak of Jesus. You're not to teach, you're not to speak of him. Right? They're afraid. They're afraid of what's happening. Speaking of the Sanhedrin. And Tony already reminded us of Peter's famous answer. Now, as they're released, they went to their friends, it says, verse 23, and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Okay, so in verse 23, we see one thing that comes out to me is that they go to their friends. This is very telling. Okay, they go to their cousins, they go to their friends. And again, I know this says friends, but in reality, these are people. And we're going to see that this is really the family, the people that understand that when they're sharing this, right, when they're sharing this to hey, this is what happened to us, These are not like Job's friends, right? They're going to impart some type of human wisdom. These are people. And notice, and we're going to get to that in a second, but this family that they come to, what was their first reaction? What was their reaction? They've heard all this. I'm sure they probably had an interchange. Oh, and what did they say? They probably were asking questions. Perhaps, again, it doesn't say that, but I can only presume as they're sharing the news, perhaps some of that happened. But again, what was the heart at the end of the day?
Pray.
Pray. Right? They had a report, and immediately we go into the next verses, which is they had to pray. They got together to pray. They didn't, okay, give me a notepad and let's start saying, okay, what can we do? Where can we go? Where can we start? There's a heart behind it. Okay, there's a heart that says, we're going to pray. Now, why pray? Of course, it seems like an easy question, right? An easy answer. What was their heart? It acknowledges what? With sovereign Lord. And again, that's my first one, the sovereignty, right? The sovereignty. They say what? Sovereign Lord. That's how they begin their prayer. And what does that imply? Correct. And notice, there's a persecution that's already going on, right? There's a persecution. This is not just simply, again, a slap on the wrist. Hey, guys, can you please be quiet? Like, honestly, the Sanhedrin is not begging them. Saying, guys, can you please? I mean, can we bargain here? They flat out told them, you are not to speak in his name, period. So there's a persecution. I can only imagine that at that moment, as Peter and John are telling this to their friends, they're saying, guys, we are not to speak of his name. That's what they told us. And their first reaction was that of prayer. And they begin that prayer with, again, sovereign Lord. Again, prayer assumes what? I know it seems like a rhetorical question, but what does prayer assume? Someone's listening. Who is the someone? God is listening. Someone's going to answer. So if he's listening, God is going to answer. Dependence. What else?
Trust.
Now do you know, and again, these are just four, right off the top of your heads. Now do you see why it's important when we gather together to pray? Because as a church, it assumes that we too ought to be dependent on him. Because the moment you stop praying, the moment you don't, it assumes that you got this under control. And I don't. Give me 1 second when you've had it under control. Again, this is the part that assumes that when we gather, guys, I'm not making this up. I'm not putting this is not my thoughts. This was coming back from Acts 2. This is building on Acts 2. What did they do? They gathered to fellowship, to break bread, to teach, and to pray. These are the foundations. This is what we understand, the pillars. So I'm not simply exhorting or at least bringing something and trying to read into the text. I'm just seeing that this was their response. And they begin with sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. And we'll read that again. It says, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. They're acknowledging something here. Not just that you're sovereign, but now they're being more specific. Because you can say, God, you are in control. But you are so in control. I'm praying to you because at the end of the day, no matter how I slice it or dice it, you are the one that made the heavens and the earth. It wasn't me. It was you. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. And notice, what do they quote as they're praying? A psalm. They're actually quoting Psalm 2, right? They're quoting Psalm 2. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Capital A, if you notice, they're anointed. What does anointed mean? Chosen one, Christ. It's Christ. This is a psalm written by David. Again, speaking of that Messiah that was to come, right? And they're actually now applying this scripture, this Psalm number 2, as a fulfillment. They're saying, well, we understood this report that we just received, right from the Sanhedrin. That's why it was very important for us to understand who was present. Remember when we were going last week? Who was present there with Peter and John? Was not Herod there? The chief priests? Right? So what they're saying is, for truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And notice, again, they're saying to your holy servant, but in reality, who was really being persecuted? It was the church. It was Christ. But even though you see Peter and John standing there, it's no different than what Jesus told Saul. What did Jesus tell Saul? On the road to Damascus, why are you persecuting me? The heart of God is still the same. It hasn't changed. What he is ultimately saying is, this psalm is taking its fulfillment. Now, granted, we also know that it was true of Calvary, right? But it's still happening. It's still happening. Now they mention both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles at that time that crucified Jesus? The Romans. It was the Romans, was it not? They're the ones that crucified Jesus. They weren't the only players. They weren't the only people that were involved in that crucifixion, but they're mentioned as the Gentiles. And the peoples of Israel, right? The Jews, they had the option. Who do you want freed? And who did they choose? They chose Barabbas. And notice in verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Again, it doesn't change. Peter, as a matter of fact, mentioned this. This is part of Acts chapter 2. Remember Peter's first sermon? This happened with the foreknowledge of God. That's what he stands up. When he stands up and says, this is what's happened, says all this happened. He wasn't an active, but again, it's right, correct. And this is the part where we struggle. And if we get to a point where it becomes, again, as a matter of fact, and I'll share this. You know, this past week I had to travel for work, so I traveled with a coworker. And one of the things that ended up happening is that he's British, he's from England. He's here in our office helping us out for the next couple of weeks. He leaves in 2 weeks. And in London, he studied philosophy and he studied theology. When he was young, he was actually thinking of becoming a priest. Now, his parents are not super religious. His dad, as a matter of fact, is an atheist. And his mom is I think, somewhat religious, I guess, maybe Catholic, if you will. So he has some affinity or liking to that, but never really involved. But even then, he had these thoughts, right, when he was young. And eventually those thoughts went out the window. But he studied philosophy and theology. And we got into some very interesting questions and conversations as the Lord led. And that's one of the things that my wife and our children were praying for. Is like, Lord, will you open these doors? Just to build a bridge, to build something, you know, where we can at least have a conversation. It was some of the most, I wish I could tell you, man, you know what? He told me I want to know him. It didn't happen. But what did happen was that there was some honest questioning that was going on. And along with this, this is one of the questions that he had is, you know, again.
Enlace and all these channels do is not what we see in Acts. They just do this surface. And usually the miracles are internal medicine miracles. I had high blood pressure or had a headache or whatever. Honestly, I haven't seen any person grow a limb.
A withered hand.
On TV. Yeah. A withered hand. Yeah. So, and then you don't hear the clear testimony of the preaching of the gospel. Miracle first, preaching later. No, they usually have their, whatever they call preaching, happen, and then the big thing and the big event is the healing. It's completely opposite to what you're expounding from Acts. That's my problem with today's miracle. Not denying that they may happen.
And we've had someone here that's had these kind of situations, right, where they've been prayed for. I'm not going to mention who, but it was someone that was praying for their stomach, I believe, right? No? Troy, you remember that? You mentioned that before? Where he went to someone, and not to put you on the spot, but it was, I remember early on in our, telling you how someone came on and started praying, I think, to heal or to cast out some type of something out of you. Remember that? And I'm sorry, but again, it's the reality that, now, you, I believe you were already a strong believer at that moment. I mean, you weren't. But what if you had not been? What if you had not been? I can give you the opposite side, which is my wife, you know, where she had gone to church, and they tried to do the same thing because they saw a tattoo, and therefore, you know, you had made a pact with the devil, and therefore that needed to be, you know, exercised. So how do you make sense of these things? See, again, to our brother Lewis's point and to everyone, again, it's the scriptures. It's the scriptures. And it's hard. And what makes it even more difficult is when they kind of do these things in the name of Jesus. And then now it's that half-truth, right, in the name of Jesus. And now you add to that, and it's like, well, clearly it has to be. I mean, they're invoking, they're doing it for Jesus' name, right? I mean, they're not doing it on their own power. They're saying in the name of Jesus. And now it creates confusion. Or as John MacArthur would say, the charismatic chaos, right? So this is where we need to make sure that we are in the scriptures and we understand. Again, don't get me wrong. Don't just simply read this. What I'm trying to say is don't misunderstand me. Don't just simply read the scriptures to be able to refute or have some type of rebuttal to people. That's not why we read the scriptures. We read the scriptures to know Jesus. That's why we read the scriptures. And as the Lord is working in your heart and in mine, as he's, now you're no longer standing on quicksand, right? All of the ground is sinking sand, but now you're standing on Christ, the solid rock. As you're learning from him, as you're learning from him, as you're seeing him in the scriptures displayed, in the Old Testament as much as in the New Testament, now you can stand with assurance that, you know, when you can give someone a response, it's again, it's to point them to Jesus. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit work. Notice, it says it right there. They were gathered together, and they were, again, the place in which they were together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit had left Peter, John, and the disciples? I mean, is that what it means? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Weren't they already filled back in Acts 2 and Pentecost, the day of Pentecost? So who's getting filled here? Is it that once we have the Holy Spirit that there's... See, again, when we come to Christ, it's a filling of the Holy Spirit that takes place. I've prayed many times, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me, again, give me that boldness. Give me the desire. Yeah, your Holy Spirit is in me. But fill me with your Spirit. To be mindful. To be aware of what's happening in my surroundings. Not that the Holy Spirit is coming and going and now that somehow they were empty. But this desire is like, fill me with your Spirit. Put me in tune, again, because I am so prone to wander. That famous hymn, right? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Again, this is me. I'm constantly, you know, leaving it to my own devices, trying to depend on myself and trying to push God away, even though I don't put it that way, but my actions speak in such a way that I need to be reminded, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Remind me what it is to depend on you and not on my own strength. Again, they were not asking for boldness on their own strength. They were asking for boldness that came from the Holy Spirit, and that's what God granted. That is what God granted. If I can leave you with an encouragement. Amen. And that's a great and that's a wonderful observation. That's the heart. And again, to speak the word. And again, the verse is not just how quickly you can go ahead and recite a scripture reference. Oh yeah, go to this and Romans 9 and this. It goes beyond that. Again, it's to point them to Jesus. The word, capital W. It has to be the capital W word. The eternal word. Right? According to John 1. That's what we want to proclaim. That's what we want to point them to. It's good that you know your scripture references, but at the end of the day, may it not be left where you just simply teach, right, or share the word, but never point them to Jesus. That was Paul. Peter. Sorry. Why are you guys amazed? I said, somehow I did this by my own strength. It wasn't me. It was him. It was Jesus. So, as we take a break here to fellowship, consider these things. Okay, and may, by God's grace and His mercy, may we continue to go before Him to ask Him to give us that boldness. Paul actually tells Timothy, you've already been given the spirit of boldness, right? He tells him that. You haven't been given a spirit of fear nor of timidity. You have that. Now, by His grace, go preach His word. Go preach Christ and Him crucified. And leave the results to the Lord. He is sovereign at the end of the day. And He will call whoever He's going to call. He's going to soften a heart, whoever He's going to soften. Like with my coworker. I could have been planting. And there's someone else that's going to come along and water. But I leave those results into the hands of my Father. And may His will be done. That's it. That's all I can do and pray. And I ask you to join me in prayer for him. I hope that before he leaves back home, you know, that more conversations will be able to take place and that we'll be able to present him with Jesus once again. All right? Let us pray. I will share this with you. So we do have someone preaching for us this morning. We have Andrew from Christ Family. He's going to be preaching for us this morning, like I already mentioned. So please, I encourage you, you know, let's be attentive as you always are, you know, and not just for the sake of, but it's for the desire of Christ, you know, that we, not to pretend because, oh, let's see how good and holy the whole cornerstone is. No, it's with the heart of Philippians. It's with the heart of Philippians. We're not the only church in town that's preaching Christ, and praise the Lord for that, that there's people that can actually reach those in another neighborhood with good doctrine, with sound teaching, with sound doctrine, and preaching Christ Sunday after Sunday. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, so let us, if you see him, welcome him, you know, and show the love of Christ as you guys have always been known to do. Okay, let us pray as we close here this session. Father, all we can do is ask you for forgiveness. Ask you for forgiveness for the times that we don't seek you the way we ought. You've been convicted, Father, that their response to Peter and John's report was, Sovereign Lord, you who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. It's the same God that we're praying to this very moment. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the times we've shied away, that we've been afraid of sharing your word, or even the times that we have shared your word, but, Father, it's been with pride. It's been on our own strength. Father, may our heart always be, as we see here this morning, to speak the word with boldness, but to point people to Jesus. Father, we don't have anything in and of ourselves to offer. We're sinful people. Sinful people that have been redeemed by your grace, by your mercy. And we want to share that good news, that gospel of Jesus. So help us to do so, Father. Help us to remain in your word. Not just on Sundays from 9 in the morning till 2 p.m. in the afternoon, Father. May we be diligent in your word to see Jesus. That our spirits may be, that we may be filled by your spirit through your word. That we may stand on Jesus, our solid rock. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us more opportunities to share your word this week. Make us mindful. Make us mindful of those opportunities. And Father, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to not let them go by. And that, Father, at the end of the day, you would be glorified, as we heard this morning through our sister. That our desire is that you would be glorified above all things. So that may that be our heart, Father, and may you work it in us for your glory, for your honor, as we remember the words that Paul wrote to the Philippians. Father, it is you working in us for your good pleasure. Be magnified and prepare our hearts as we listen, as we sing unto you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.